This episode of the Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by The Contender, the game of presidential debate. Go ahead on over to thecontender.us and make sure that you sign up for our newsletter if you've already bought it. If you haven't already bought it, then what the hell are you waiting for? Make sure that you get your order in now to have it guaranteed at your house by Christmas. Thecontender.us and Patreon. Patreon.com/jury. And therefore, people like you, everybody that donates is the best person on the planet. And that's a fact. Wink! Children of all ages, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Justin Robert Young Podcast. I come to you from a refurbished, from an ever in progress studio here in Oakland, California. Man, started at the bottom and we're still technically only a few degrees further from that, but we are here for you to be amazed. Okay. We have put up paneling behind. I've actually taken time to, like, you know, deal with sound effects and stuff like that. Man, this still might be a financial disaster, this quitting my job thing, right? Like, there is still a large chance that this is financially the worst thing that I could do for myself and my wife. However, right now, the studio looks good, and I'm really happy with the show. So, thank you to everybody who has supported us so far. We are going to have a hell of a program for you. Let's start off with this. Number one, I am a murderer. I killed somebody last week on the show, and I was really, 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 really upset about the fact that I'm either a murderer or a racist. I'm probably a racist also because of why I murdered somebody. Jesus. I'm glad I gotta pour myself a... Let's just go ahead and get... Yeah. Let's pour ourselves a glass here. I'm a racist murderer. Let's just go ahead. Anybody down here in the chat room? Let's just go ahead. Can somebody get a straw poll going? Let's get a straw poll going. Am I more of a racist or more of a murderer? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, please allow me to explain how I, as a racist, murdered somebody last week on the show. If you have not listened to it, go ahead and give yourself give your ears a treat and give it a spin. I talked about how Ben Carson had a picture of Jesus in his house. Strawpoll.me/601-8955 if you would like to register whether or not I am more of a racist or a murderer. So, all right, what happened? Ben Carson's got a picture of Jesus in his house. the Jesus doesn't really look like Jesus to me, although I guess that is up for debate by religious scholars on exactly what Jesus looked like. Instead, Jesus looked like who I said was TJ Houshmandzadeh. TJ Houshmandzadeh was a receiver for the Bengals in the late 90s and the early 2000s. What I then said was that he was in heaven. Okay? That TJ Houshmandzadeh had died. Now, just to prove to you that I am not a man of upstanding moral character, I am now going to turn the blame around to everybody below me. Everybody here in the chat room. Because I went for a solid 20 minutes riffing on the fact that Ben Carson was going to go to heaven and Ben Carson was going to interact and there was a Star Wars thing and we went on this big riff, okay? Meanwhile, I didn't see boo down here in the chat room about the fact that TJ Houshmandzadeh was not dead. Chris Henry was dead. Who's Chris Henry? Those of you who didn't follow the NFL in the early aughts, or people like Hot Beverages down below, who is from Cincinnati. Chris Henry was a receiver for those same Bengals teams, and actually looks more, he was who I was thinking of when talking about what the alien-looking Jesus looked like. He looks like Chris Henry, and Chris Henry is actually dead. Here's the operative term here. Chris Henry actually died. TJ Houshmandzadeh living a healthy life. In fact, somebody on Twitter, thank you, sir, decided it would be really great if they at replied TJ Houshmandzadeh in, hey, this guy killed you on a podcast. Which I'm sure he'd say what if he did respond. He has not thus far, and I certainly hope that that trend keeps up. But if it then comes up, hey, wait, what do you mean you killed me? I'm like, well, no, I didn't kill you. I just said that you were, well, what happened was I said, TJ, okay, first, big fan. You're a tremendous receiver. You used to break my heart as a teenager and 20-year-old watching Steelers games because you were great. Okay. Hi, my name is Justin, by the way. Hi, Mr. Houshmandzadeh. Hello. My name is Justin. I do a podcast, and so I was doing a bit. I was doing a thing. What's a podcast? Okay, so podcast is when you have your iPhone. Do you have an iPhone? Okay, you have a Samsung. Okay, either way, you download an app. You go to the Google Play Store. So what you do is you go to the... Okay. So you get an app and you download a thing. And so I do one of those. It's like radio. It's basically a radio show. So what happened... I was doing my show and Ben Carson... Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of him either. Ben Carson, anyway, he has a picture of Jesus in his living room. And I said that you were... Well, I got you mixed up with Chris Henry. I know. Yes. I didn't know him. I didn't know. Well, because I it wasn't really, the bit wasn't about the fact that he was dead, but he just happened to be dead. And then I got into a thing about like, well, I mean, no, I don't know his family. And I do see how that could be taken as disrespectful. But what I accidentally said that you were him. No, I don't think you all look alike. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said you. I shouldn't have said you. I don't think that you two particular people happen to look alike. I don't think that all Bengals look alike. Chad Johnson was definitely of darker skin tone. I don't think that's important. My name is Justin Robert Young, and this is the Justin Robert Young Podcast. Let's begin. For the record, I don't think that Carson Palmer looks like Jesus at all. So, fuck that. I'm not racist. I only think black people can be Jesus. All of the songs today are from Datak, D-A-T-A-K. Go to soundcloud.com/D-A-T-A-K if you would like for your ears to be tickled by his music. I quite dig it. And, of course, keep sending all the music I'm allowed to play on this here show to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury music in the subject line so I can separate it out and make sure that I keep playing royalty-free music so these videos on YouTube only get flagged for the Spinto Band and the Possum Posse. By the way, funny moment this week when Jomo from the Possum Posse, I guess, like, doesn't log into Twitter all that much and doesn't have notifications turned on for anything. So he just logs into Twitter and sees everybody last week who at replied Possum Posse about how they were rocking his socks, or Jomo was rocking their socks. And so now this is going to be a new bit. Bother Jomo from the Possum Posse. I want everybody to at reply at the Possum Posse right now. If you like this song that I play right here at the top of every show. If you like that, then just go ahead and at reply Jomo at the Possum Posse and say, when's the new shit? In fact, do when's the new shit, 4 question marks, and then just the shrug emoji guy. Like, that's what I want to know. When are we going to get these new Possum Posse hits, son? Because I've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Remember that song that any country lady can sing? Doesn't it kind of make, like, isn't it bad that, like, both Carrie Underwood and Faith Evans can sing that song almost indistinguishably from each other? Doesn't it just make them the same person that you can just plug them in and take them out? Like, why wouldn't you go in a totally different direction and have, like, a male country singer do it, or, like, go really have Shaggy do it? Remember Shaggy? Been waiting all day for Sunday night. Shabbat. Not Shabbat. Is that a Jewish thing or a Jamaican thing? The world may never know. I got a question for the ladies. The ladies. Hey, ladies. Here's the deal. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was, I don't know how it came up. I think it came up because we're talking about jerking off, and so there's a thing called the stranger. You ever heard of this one? This turned into a stand-up comedy bit. You heard of this? The stranger. The stranger. You heard of this? Huh? See what happens, Thib? You know, you sit on your hand, okay? Right? You sit on your hand. Hand goes numb. You reach over to your penis. Pause. Hold your applause, ladies and gentlemen. And then you jerk off with your penis and your hand. But you can't feel your hand, so it feels like someone else is doing it. Huh? Jay Leno talking about masturbation, frankly. Can you imagine? I don't think Jay Leno has kids, but I would like to imagine that that would be how he would talk to his children about masturbation. So this is, and people are saying MacBook Pro is talking about the Chappelle show talked about this. This is something that I've heard. This has been schoolyard legend since I was a kid. But guys sit on their hands. Or at least this is not, I don't know how many people do it, right? But it is talked about, okay? And I'm sure some guys have done it. Anonymously email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, if you have ever given yourself the stranger. It also counts if you're giving yourself the stranger just for this show. In fact, it counts double. So again, here's how it goes. Theoretically, you get this wild hair, you know, and you're like, uh-oh, it's time for business. And you just hear this voice in your head.
Who am I? None of your business.
Oh, it's the stranger. The stranger. You sit on your hand. It goes totally numb. Then you grab your shaft and get to town. All of a sudden, everything's swirling around in your head. Oh, is this my hand? Is this something else? Your brain knows that it's your own hand, but your body tells a different story. Meanwhile, that voice pops back.
Stop asking questions.
So you don't. You keep going. One stroke after another. And meanwhile, as the feeling starts to return to your hand, everything has reached a boiling point. And you've reached a satisfying conclusion. So here's my question to the ladies. Does this happen with women? Because it was at this point, I realized I had never heard women talk about the stranger. So a few things popped into my head. Number one, maybe a penis is just more of a blunt object that requires a little less, delicate sensitivity of your fingers so you can afford to stranger yourself. But then again, I don't have a vagina. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't know exactly, I don't got a manual. So I figured I was going to come here right now and ask what I do whenever I have a question for the female populace at large. And I will ask you, do you give yourself a stranger? Now, meanwhile, Jackie Hearn in the chat room says all you need is a clit. A lot of people say all you need is a clit. And maybe you do, right? But in that case, then why haven't you been giving yourself strangers? Like, this is if the vagina and the clitoris is just as much of a blunt object as a penis is, and in fact, one may make the argument that if all you got to do is flick the bean, then you need even less manual dexterity for that. Hell, you could do that with any kind of flat surface. So why not sit on your hand and act like the man of your dreams or woman? I'm not gender and sexual orientation phobic here. Do whatever you want. But why don't you act like the person in your dreams is grabbing the reins and giving that banjo an old-fashioned country strum? That's what I want to know. Email me. There's a lot of calls to action in this podcast. And I think I'm all juiced up on calls to action because we got such a fucking response to the shit show McDonald's thing last week that we are going to take an entire segment and talk about that. That is coming up. Now, listen, we only got a few of our hardcore in the chat female juristas. Can we all be juristas? Jurandistas? Jurors? The jurors? You want to be jurors? Juristas. Hit me up. I don't want this to be just like a crass conversation about female orgasms or masturbation. These are clinical questions that I need to get answers to disseminate a route against the free thinking public. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about having self-confidence. There's not a single Dragon Con I go to, not a single Nerdtacular I go to, not a single week that goes by in which I at least get one form of this question via email, Twitter, Snapchat, whatever. How do you get started in podcasting? What have you learned while podcasting? How do I get out there and do something? Now, I've said repeatedly that what you need to do is just get out there and start doing something. In fact, if you're worried and getting a complex about the fact that nobody's listening to what you were doing, that could be the best thing that you could ever possibly ask for. Because you are getting a chance to get a lot of the bullshit that you are going to eventually be better about out of the way. What does that mean? You are going to get better at speaking. You're going to get better at editing. You're going to get better at set design. And this is all shit that I'm still learning myself. I'm going to be very excited when The Jury Show continues to grow in popularity, that a lot of the episodes in which I was just standing at a static camera angle with a blank wall behind me are not going to be the first impressions that new people get of it. But I'm going to show you what happens when you are not expecting for people to pay attention to you. This is an example. I am leading by example of a moment in which I was not confident enough about the fact that viewers wanted to watch my program. Largely because, at the time, I had ample reason to believe that nobody was watching anything I was doing. Let me take you back. This is 2009, let's say. 2009. I am living in Margate, Florida. Maybe even 2007 or 8. I'm living in Margate, Florida. I'm working in Coconut Creek. We have a studio out there. Or rather, sorry, a warehouse that we build a studio in. I decide, along with Andrew, Andrew has the idea. I am the blunt instrument to carry it out, to do video interviews. So we do have a whole thing called Talking Head TV, and it's all based around the fact that I'm doing Skype interviews. Now, we got ourselves, and I think that is pretty sweet, a pretty rad setup here. You know, we're working on not Wirecast, what was it? I can't remember the free switching software, but it works really good. I got all these different mixers and everything set up. I'm switching my own interviews, and zero people are paying attention. Like a negligible amount of people are giving a shit, no matter who I interview. Now, what I can realize now in hindsight is that these are reps. These are just repetitions that would eventually go on to make me better at my job. Better at talking to people, better at talking on camera in general, confidence to sit in front of a camera and have the self-delusion / self-confidence to say, people want to hear what I say. But after a while, you do that and nobody watches and you start to let a few things slip. You start to make decisions that you would not otherwise. And thus, I bring to you something that people on Twitter brought to my attention not but 30 to 40 minutes ago. This is a picture of what I looked like while I was interviewing my future NSFW and Night Attack co-host, Brian Brushwood. Yeah, look at that. Look at that guy. I mean, a baby face, right? And if you're not watching, I'll post this on my Instagram, Justin R. Young on Instagram, if you're only listening to this, via sound. If you are watching this on YouTube, then you are seeing what I am seeing, which is just, a very baby-faced guy with some floppy hair. I'm not tremendously far away from the floppiness of the hair right now. He certainly had a little bit more volume to it than I do. Also, I believe that this was one of the few points in which I dyed my hair. I dyed my hair black a couple times when I first started getting, you could see it kind of graying temples. And so I believe this is dyed black hair. And really, the biggest offense was the soul patch. Now, why did I have a soul patch? I grow hair very fast. There's a reason why I tend to normally have a beard. Contrary to popular belief, it's not because I have this like big, like, yeah, real men have beards kind of aesthetic. It is rather because I just grow hair really fast. As the old axiom goes, I grow hair like Teen Wolf. So when you grow hair on your face fast, you tend to take chances with facial hair because eventually it just gets a little boring. You know, you don't want to shave all the time. And so every once in a while, when you shave, you're like, eh, fuck it. I'll shave something else in. And that's the kind of attitude that somebody who works at a warehouse in Margate, Florida, would have. If I was just doing what half my job was, which is just packing up boxes and fulfilling orders from Andrew Main's website, then that's fine. I didn't really see anybody. I worked alone for most of the time. But if you're going to be on the internet and you're going to be recording things that last forever, I might have thought differently about it if I had had a sunnier idea of where my future was going. If I could have busted in to that warehouse in Margate, Florida, and said, dude, shave the fucking soul patch, because in about less than 10 years, somebody is going to find a picture, you're going to look stupid, and they're going to make fun of you on the internet. Anthony Carboni is going to make fun of you on the internet. You're going to be like, who's Anthony? He's going to be like, who's Anthony Carboni? And I'm going to say, it's too long. I'm time traveling. Just trust me. You know, you're just knock it off. Nobody wants to see this. The soul patch, it is a politically charged piece of facial hair. You know, it's not as quite as as it doesn't have like the molester tag like the mustache has gotten slandered with, but it certainly has. You know, I thought it looked okay at the time, at least to fuck around with. Jack Black had a soul patch. I loved Jack Black. This was a very Jack Black kind of look I was putting together. Now I look like an idiot, and I might have made that decision that I shouldn't look like an idiot on the internet if I had believed in myself that eventually people would care about what I looked like. We've got a shit ton of responses to our shit show McDonald's call to action. Let's go ahead and take a look at that right after this. A lot of people are also saying that I bear a striking resemblance to Neshcom, the producer for Night Attack and Weird Things, and Man About Town for Brian Brushwood. Yeah, listen, I've said repeatedly that Neshcom and I have the same hair. We've got a very similar hair situation. In fact, really, the only thing that Neshcom differentiates our hair is that he brushes his and I don't. Because that's what it looks like. This, like what you're seeing right now, was a Justin in his 20s that, like, brushed his hair. He had a hairbrush. Justin in his 30s just don't give a fuck. Speaking of people just not giving a fuck, we have our shit show McDonald's conversation that has just delighted me all goddamn week. I mentioned last week about just the idea, the concept of the shit show McDonald's, and it's not always a McDonald's. It's just the one fast food restaurant that's either open late or open 24 hours. It's in the bad part of town that has the following things going on. It is always short-staffed. It is always busy, but kind of not busy. It's just because two people work there that when three people show up, all of a sudden it's a goddamn crisis. There is somebody at any given time, day or night, either on the staff or in the customer base that is having an emotional episode, and there is somebody sleeping on the floor. If not on the floor, I mean like the floor space, like not necessarily like the physical floor. Man, this hit a nerve. We got so many emails. This is the best, or these are the best, rather. This one comes from David. There is a whole, here we go. There's a whole shit show mall in East Vancouver, British Columbia, on my home from work every day. It's called the Kingsgate Mall. Here's a photo I literally took as I was hearing you propose what your examples were, and I didn't pull it, but it looks like a shit show. I'll break this down 100% spontaneous photo that I took of the mystery nature of exactly what it is when you shouted out the internet to send us shit show stories. I know, so this is normal for Kingsdale, as in it practically every night there's a scene like this outside. I know because of the silly RFID-enabled card that my apartment building uses for its laundry facility, for some reason that is unknown to me, has its load-up-your-laundry-card-with-money machine in the mall. I get to see all manners of shit showery playing out on the reg. Thank you very much, Dave. Next one comes from Pal Yuck. You are indeed truthful when you say that every town has a shit show McDonald's, and my hometown of Arlington, Texas is no exception. Though there are a few that qualify as shitty dining establishments, I think the one that sticks out the most is the Jack in the Box on Division Street. It is located directly across from the Arlington Police Department and shares an intersection with the shady, fly-by-night, used car lot and a 24-hour bail bond center. If it's all of your basic descriptors, understaffed, rarely clean but hardly ever filthy, and chock full of enough colorful characters to stock a basic crime procedural cast list on a regular basis. The staff there is consistently surly and irritable, and most likely due to the fact that Division Street is notorious for its wonderful collection of dive bars and the near constant train traffic from the railroad crossing that is less than a block away. Yes, that Jack in the Box is literally on the wrong side of the tracks. Monica writes, so I didn't have everything on your list, but I did want to tell you a story about one of the things, the token homeless person. While visiting family back in my home city of New Orleans, my father decided to take my siblings and some of my cousins out for a day of fun. We went and saw the Muppets in theater and afterwards decided to go to one of the local McDonald's, the same McDonald's where I had my fifth birthday party, I might add. Aww! So we go to get lunch and some lovely family bonding. When there, a rather homeless-looking man was pacing up and down the seating area on the side of the store and mumbling incoherently to himself. He then goes and stands outside the bathroom and starts picking at and uncomfortably groping signs that mark the men's and women's bathroom. Still mumbling complete and utter gibberish. He then went outside and paced in front of the main doors after being asked to leave. One can only assume this man was having a bad reaction to an acid trip. Long story short, the employees call the cops, and my father, my siblings, and my cousin, one of which was 7 years old, are stuck at this McDonald's because 10 cop cars show up and block the entire parking lot and street. We then witness this man resisting arrest, getting tased, tackled, handcuffed, and then ankle cuffed because he was trying to kick the cuffs. We were finally able to leave after an hour stuck inside the shit show McDonald's. Holy shit, Monica. That is certainly a case of police brutality. And finally, Nigel writes, the Mickey D's by the Cell in Chi-Town is always this. Been there when the cops get called on one of the aforementioned fat cock-ups. Loving the show. Just got my paycheck. Time to pledge some mad Patreon dough to my favorite newly unemployed podcaster and comedian. Thanks, Nige. And again, a reminder, if you'd like to support this show, it is patreon.com/JURY. Dude, we are about to hit $600 an episode. That is fucking epic, dude. And I think we might have to do something special, man. Every time we hit 100 milestone from here on out, we're doing something special because this is a movement and I love talking to you guys. And the more that I can make off this, the more time and effort I can spend in making it the best production I possibly can. Speaking of that, you can write into the show at justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. All right, let's go ahead and read some of the other emails that we got. Delaney writes, I'm just catching up on some jury shows and been a bit behind. I have to say to you, I had a personal brain implosion when you mentioned the idea of a presidential candidate's having to go down water slides on an episode of the jury show a few weeks ago. I have a note that I very drunkenly saved in my phone one night earlier this year, and I have absolutely no context for and have always tried to find a meaning behind. I tend to make quick notes on my phone that have all the best ideas remembered when I drink, which obviously is a bit flawed. The one stupid note is something that is always stuck in my head, and I find myself randomly spending time trying to figure out why the hell I saved it and what my brilliant idea was. And he shows me a screenshot of him having written down presidents going down water slides. Delaney, I don't know whether or not we are twins, but we should be. Atema writes, I've been a longtime closeted diamond clubber. I haven't kicked in for Patreon. I don't hang in the chat realm, and I've never felt the need to email you before. I work in a food stamp office, so homeless people are going hungry while I write this. That's how much Gabriel needs to hear this. Oh. Gabriel. This is about Gabriel. If you don't remember, Gabriel was our friend of the show who has a bit of a problem, moved up to the Bay Area, has reconnected with an ex-girlfriend of his, has immediately fallen back for her and got totally punked out on Halloween when he went as Mulder and Scully with her. They both went to a bar and she wound up making out with somebody else. Yeah. This one's for Gabriel. He says, Atema says, you need to bail on this girl yesterday. They go someplace as a couple, as far as matching couples go, and she ends up making out with someone else. These are not the actions of someone who wants to date you. They aren't even the actions of somebody who cares about his heart at all. She may care about Gabriel as a friend, but his love life is not her problem. I'm not saying it should be, but now we all know for sure. And this reinforces what I told Gabriel, that he needs to get his shit together. He needs to make sure that he separates himself, at least emotionally, from this woman. Because if he does not, I will guarantee you that he will continue to recycle this pattern of behavior. And he will find himself thinking, I think we're going to start a new segment. We're going to start a new segment where people talk about fucked up situations they've had with ex-boyfriend and girlfriends, and we're going to call it Ex Gon' Give It To You, because this is too much fun. Phil writes, the last couple of Night Attack shows have been aces. Quit more jobs. Well, what about the jury shows, motherfucker? Phil says, I wish I'd flown United, but I am on Southwest today because I'm filled with self-loathing and I want to fight for a seat but not between two fat guys. I'm going to St. Louis to attend a nerd conversation or nerd con as a nerd podcaster, live show and all. This is nuts. I'm an old dude with social anxiety and no self-confidence and a podcast. And now I have to go meet strangers and pretend to be a community leader. Dude, Phil, you are America. You are everything that this version of Justin was not. You would not show up with that embarrassing soul patch because you are going out, you're breaking down doors, you're crashing through barriers violently if necessary, and you are making yourself into a better, faster, stronger person. So excited for you. Bryce writes, love the show, but wasn't the original sin for the United States really the whole genocide of the indigenous peoples thing? Happy Thanksgiving. The SJW writing from a state founded as a white utopia, Oregon. So Bryce is referring to the fact that I mentioned that Slavery was America's original sin. I got a couple emails about this. This is the shortest one. Somebody else emailed me and said that America didn't invent slavery, so slavery can't be America's original sin. Bryce is saying that the original sin for America was the genocide of the indigenous people. So without getting into too much, really pedantic American history, certainly the actions of many settlers in settling of America, certainly reprehensible. It's not as if, there was this Native American utopia that was happening that was crashed into. It was a very tribal and warlike society leading into it. Not justifying anything, but I think both of you misinterpreted what I meant by original sin. Original sin is not the first sin, and it is not a sin for which we invented. It, in my mind, and how I wanted to use it, was that it is the sin for which hangs around with us. It is our big special, we can't get around it, and we still deal with it, boo-boo. If that makes sense. That might not be original sin, probably not the best word for it, but that's what I meant. I meant original sin in that there is just a fact of life that Americans have to deal with the fact that slavery existed. So as we talk about whether or not I fumbled the idea of slavery, let's get to me being a really, really, really rad guy. Yeah, I'm really awesome. I made the declaration last week that I was going to give away some of my upgrades for United, and I asked people to write in because I was starting a charity called Jury's Little Angels. Second chance for a break that would make it okay. Because every day people fly United Airlines, and instead of having an enjoyable experience where booze is free, they sit in coach. We can help them. Actually, there's not a mouse in my pocket, so it's not we, it's me. I can help them. I have the power to make Jury's Little Angels! I got two emails that I want to read to you. I didn't only get two emails. I got many, 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 many emails. And keep sending them in, because I'm gonna send more people into first class. But two that I want to read. Here's the first one. On Thursday, November 19th, I fly to... On two United flights across the country to a city we once simultaneously called home, San Diego, California. I've flown first class before by the charity of my colleague. It was awesome. But as a result, I can't really use that never flown first class angle to try and score this upgrade. Instead, I'll try to throw some half-baked symbolic shit at you by upgrading me on a flight back to where we once played Ninja Turtles as kids. It completes the circle of how our family has arrived. Nostalgia plus ego stroking equals going hella hard for this upgrade. Plus, I have the shamelessness to continue. We left in seek of help from our family, and I'll return, buzzed on complimentary drinks, because of the help of our family. But in a truly bossed out way, because life is just fucking sweet like that now, which is my main point here. Lately, not like you haven't in the past, but here's one of those rare opportunities in life to literally hook a brother up. Hey-o! Later, dude. Signed, Eric Young. My little brother. Sorry, buddy. David wrote in, my lady and I would love to be Jury's Little Angels. Here's the scoop. We're getting married, doing the deed in mid-December, and we're going on a bit of a honeymoon. Cuba for Christmas, then Rio for all sorts of New Year's Eve mayhem. We are taking all sorts of janky airlines along the way, but on the last leg, the epic return, when we are all spent, dirty, and hungover, craving the warm embrace of a better-than-coach seat, we'll be on United. So, if you can find it in your heart to upgrade the last piece of our journey, we'd love you forever. We love you anyway, but we'd love you even more. Also, whether you upgrade us or not, let us know if you want us to pick you up any exotic souvenirs. We are local, and it's the least we can do to thank you for all the hours of entertainment you provide. I just noticed all the use of parentheses in this paragraph. Don't worry. It doesn't matter when I read it. David, congratulations. You and your soon-to-be wife are the first ever Jury's Little Angels, not Eric Young. You will be able to get first-class accommodations, if you clear the wait list, from Rio de Janeiro to wherever you are returning to by way of Houston, Texas. And you, not Eric Young, will be able to have a luxurious first-class seat, all the drinks that you can handle, because you, not my little brother, will be able to say to your friends and family that we are Jury's Little Angels. Thank you guys so much. If you would like to email the show, it is justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. You can follow me everywhere, Stitcher, iTunes, or some other shit, if you want to find the podcast, sorry. Make sure you put Jury in all of your emails when you email justinrobertyoung.com. Sorry, Twitter and Instagram, @JustinRYoung. Snapchat, Periscope. Man, I'm going to be doing a lot more social media now that I actually have time. Hashtag join the conversation @diamondclub.reddit.com. In fact, you want to know what? I actually might move Jury's Little Angels to the Diamond Club Reddit, because I think that that's going to be a better place for it. But meanwhile, if you find yourself at a shit show McDonald's, if you find yourself meeting the mysterious stranger, if you find yourself killing a Bengals receiver, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Justin Robert Young, and I want you to remember to yourself, please don't die! Do you like when your friends fuck up? Don't you think you have had enough?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Who am I? None of your business.